that's going on. And then Jesus announces, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, we have to understand what Jesus just did there. Jesus has just declared himself the fulfillment of God's 600-year-old prophecy. Jesus has just declared that God's Holy Spirit is upon him. Jesus has said that God has anointed him. And we English speakers, we need to understand that the Hebrew word for anointed one is Messiah. In Greek, it's Christ. Jesus has just, in fact, declared himself to be God's Messiah. And we're told, how do people react initially? All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. Wow! Local boy comes home and makes good. And if only the story had ended there, it'd be a great story. But unfortunately, or fortunately, it does not. Because then comes the next sentence. And the whole story hinges on how you say this sentence. In the Gospels, you read it, it's very simple. Is not this Joseph's son? Now, there's two ways. There's two ways you can read this sentence. The first is like this. Isn't this Joseph's son? Like, whoa! This is amazing! This is Jesus, Joseph's son. We know, wow, how did he get all of this? Or you can read it like this. It's not this Jesus, Joseph's son! You can read it as an accusation, as disbelief, as derision. And I'm going with the latter one because I think the rest of the gospel ties in there. Because the minute people say this, Jesus goes on a verbal offensive against his own hometown people. Doubtless, he says, you will quote to me this ancient proverb, doctor, cure yourself. And you will say, do here also in your hometown the things we heard you did in Capernaum. Meaning? Jesus is putting words in their mouth, but here's what he's saying. If you're that really that great Jesus, prove it to us, okay? We've heard you've done stuff elsewhere, but you know what? Show us. Prove it to us. We've only heard stories. We haven't seen anything yet. Jesus responded, truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. And he goes on and he starts talking about these strange characters from the Old Testament, the widow of Zarephath and Naaman, two people in the Old Testament who were helped by God, but they weren't locals. They were foreigners. Jesus is, in fact, saying, you know what, God, I'll do my work, but I'm not going to do it among you. And now, the reaction of the once admiring hometown crowd has changed. And Luke says, when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove Jesus out of town, and led him on the brow of the hill. Jerusalem is built on the edge of a large cliff. Our Nazareth is built on the edge of a large cliff. Led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so that they might hurl him off the cliff. Now, some of us are old enough to remember Dale Carnegie. Remember Dale Carnegie's course is How to Win Friends and Influence People? Jesus never took a Dale Carnegie course. He has gone from being held in amazement to about to be lynched in 2 minutes. But Luke tells us he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. He got out of town and he never went back. So the whole newspaper, if they had newspapers back in Nazareth back then, the newspaper headline would probably have read the next day, hometown boy barely escapes being tossed off a cliff. Now that's quite a story. That's quite a story. And it sets the stage in an instant in those 16, 17 verses of what we're going to see about Jesus for the rest of the gospel. Because Jesus goes off, he starts his public ministry, but not in Nazareth. He goes back to Capernaum. And the opposition, the rejection, and the hatred Jesus faced at hometown, in his own hometown, he will face everywhere else he goes. We need to understand this very carefully. Whether you've been coming to church your whole life or this is something new to you, no figure in human history is more controversial than Jesus of Nazareth. I don't think anyone is more controversial. It was true in his own lifetime. Jesus' birth story It ends with the story when he's 40 days old, being taken to the temple by his parents, and this elderly man, Simeon, appears. And he comes up to Jesus' mother, and he says all these amazing things about her son, but then he says this: "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and as a sign that will be opposed." You see, Jesus was loved and admired by many. He was hailed by the crowds as Israel's Savior and King. His disciples said he was God's son. But he was also hated and reviled by many. He's called possessed by the devil. He's called a drunkard by his enemies. He's derided as the friend of sinners and tax collectors. When Jesus told his disciples, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you," you have to remember, he had a long list of enemies. He had a lot of people who hated him and wanted him out of the way. And we also need to remember, Jesus did not mince words with his enemies either. He attacked them verbally. He attacked their hypocrisy. He called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. He said, "You look really good on the outside, but on the inside, you are filled with death and corruption." He made the bad guys in the parable of the Good Samaritan a priest and a Levite, two holy and religious persons. People. Jesus, when he got to Jerusalem, he sings a song of lament over Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. He didn't fool himself about what lay ahead. He knew that the Holy Spirit was going to lead him, and he knew the Spirit would lead him to confrontation and death. But he was undeterred. Led by the Spirit, Jesus completed the work that was given to him, completed the work that he took upon himself when he quoted those words from Isaiah in his own hometown. Now, another point we all need to understand. Jesus of Nazareth is still the most controversial person in the world. We've got Donald Trump and we've got Hillary Clinton right now, okay? Just a little bit of controversy there, okay? Jesus beats them all. He beats them all. Jesus today, 2,000 years after he lived, he is worshipped and adored by billions. But there are millions who hate him, who spit upon him, who revile him, who reject him, and who also do the same thing for anyone who dares to say, "I believe in Jesus." And I think part of the reason why Jesus was rejected by his own hometown people is they couldn't imagine anyone they knew being something special. I mean, this is Joseph's kid. We know this kid. Who does he think he is? He couldn't possibly be who he said he was. I think many people today continue to reject Jesus because, you know what? He doesn't seem that special. He wasn't a world leader. He wasn't rich. He wasn't famous. And people today say, "Why should I bother following someone who lived so long ago, who said stuff I don't care about, when you know what? I don't want anyone telling me how to live my lives." People today, we still have this notion about, if it's not about me, it really doesn't matter. If it doesn't happen to me and my own life and my own time, it is irrelevant. We're still like the people in Nazareth saying, "If you're real, Jesus, prove it to me right here and now. And if he doesn't, we want nothing to do with him today." Our world lives with the idea that it all revolves around me. But Jesus had a different perspective in life. For Jesus, it was not about him. For Jesus, it was about God. Jesus did not come to impress people. He did not come to win their favor. He didn't want their desire. He didn't want their approval. All that led Jesus was the power of the Holy Spirit. He came only to serve God. And by serving God, Jesus also served the rest of us as well. The only approval Jesus sought in his life was the approval of his Heavenly Father. And you know what? He knew he already had that. Because that voice at his baptism said, "You are my son, my beloved. I'm pleased with you." You and I, we serve this amazing, dynamic, courageous Jesus.
Our lives as Christians, we know, are not all about me, 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 me. They need to be about Jesus, 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 Jesus. We are not in this world to fulfill our own desires and wants. We are here to be led by that same Spirit that led Jesus. When little Joseph comes to the baptismal font in a few minutes, when he receives the water and the Spirit, that's going to be his holy calling in life. To be someone who doesn't grow up just thinking about himself, but to grow up to be someone who lives for Jesus Christ. And here's a little hint for all of us, folks. If you follow your life taking Jesus real seriously, you're going to find you will have opposition as well. Because there are people in this world who don't want to hear about sin, who don't want to hear about self-deception, who don't want to hear about their misplaced priorities, who don't want to live for anything more than themselves, and they don't like people who say, that's not the right way to live. Jesus calls you and me, he calls Joseph, to live for something bigger than ourselves. He calls us to live for him. He calls us to live for God. And why? Because Jesus truly is the one on whom God's Spirit rests. He truly is the one who came to preach the good news. He truly is the one who came to release those of us who live in sin. He truly is the one who died for us, and he truly is the one who was raised from the dead. He truly is the one of whom the angel sang on that Christmas night, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And in the end, we have to admit that hometown boy, he did pretty well, didn't he? And not only did he do well, he did good. He did the ultimate good. And 2,000 years later, the name of Jesus of Nazareth is still the most famous name in the world. He still changes people's lives, and he changes their destiny. He still changes people and steps into their lives to show them something greater. That's what he will do today with Joseph. And when you think about it, you and I, we have a great privilege. We have the privilege of following this Jesus, of loving this Jesus, of serving this Jesus. And that is what makes all the difference in life. So may God lead us in this way, and may he lead little Joseph in this way all his life, as a servant of the one on whom God's Spirit rests, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.